Morning. It's good to see you today. We're glad that you're here. We appreciate an opportunity to be together and worshiping God in song and prayer and remembering our Lord's death and now in reading the scriptures and studying together from His Word. I invite you to get a Bible and join us as we study some things and recall to our memory some things that God has revealed to us in His Word, and pray that by doing so that we will be encouraged to duplicate those things that are good and right, that we will conform our hearts and lives to the will of God, and at the same time, by memory, we can also see those things of our lives that is not in harmony with God's will, and we can repent. We can remember, as the psalmist wrote, that God does not forget to be gracious. God has not forgotten us in spite of our sin. God remembers. And God, from eternity past, as Brother John mentioned and read from Psalm 22 this morning for us, that God has accomplished our redemption in His Son, and He calls upon us in faith to obey His will, to come to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. It may be that in your life, that's the thing that you've not yet done, that you've not yet in faith obeyed the gospel of Jesus and been saved. We hope you will do that today. We hope that today you will see that it is God's great love and the fact that He has remembered you as a reason for you now to remember Him today and always in your life. If you'll repent, if you'll confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be baptized into Christ today. Your sins will be forgiven. And you can be raised to walk a new life, live a life in fellowship with God, to walk in love. As Ephesians 5 and verse 2 says, as God loved us, as Christ loved us and gave Himself, so you too can offer yourself as a sacrifice living for God from this day forward. As God's people, it's important, it's vital that we examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith. And so I hope as we study from God's Word today, that will also be our objective. We'll look for the personal application, that we will compare ourselves to what God has said, and when we find sin in our heart and our life, that we'll repent, that we will change our heart, that we'll pray God's forgiveness, and as His children, as Christians, God has promised to be faithful and not to forget, and that He will indeed forgive those sins as well. So we hope that a response to the gospel is, if your need, that you'll respond and be blessed in God through His Son Jesus Christ today. We've been talking about remembering because, you see, memory is a great blessing that God has given us. As we think about always remembering, memory is a great tool. I got to thinking now, what is it, Joe, that you've forgotten today? In the last hour, you know. We all, you know, sometimes we take it for granted until we've forgotten something and then reminded of it. Memory is a blessing from God, and it's a blessing in just the way that we mentioned a minute ago. It can help us learn. It can help us grow in Christ. It can, by memory, we can avoid the mistakes of the past. Let me tell you, I'm going to pick up those towels next time. You see, I'm going to remember that. And turn on the light. I'm going to remember that. You know, I'm sure Sister Sarah's going to remember some things too and avoid falling as well. You see, we all, pain helps us remember. And we apply that spiritually. Sometimes, you know, we need to remember the pain that sin causes and not forget that sin causes a pain to our soul and a separation from God in such ways that we'll forever be lost and separated from God. And so memory can help us avoid the sins and mistakes of the past. It can also help us to repeat the successes. It can help us remember the blessings and continue living in a way that brings those blessings. And God often called upon Israel to remember to remember the fathers and to remember the sins and to remember the blessings when they repented and the hardship when they failed to repent, when they wandered into sin.
So God has given us this tool of memory, and so we want to remember some things for ourselves, things that we should never forget, things that as Christians that will help us develop, be more productive, help us to remember the things that God wants of us and in us each day that we live. Of course, we ate the Lord's Supper this morning. It's a memorial. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. He wants us to be remembering Him. He wants us to remember His death, the sacrifice, to remember that God delivered Him. Psalm 22, that He was circled about by all so many enemies, and yet God did deliver Him. In death and resurrection from it, God exalted Him. And now through Him, we have deliverance from our sins. It's important to remember the Lord's death every Lord's Day. Never to fail to know and understand what great gifts have been given to us in the Son. So, let's look at some other things to remember. We need to always remember the cleansing that we have from our past sins. When's the last time you remembered the day of your salvation? How long has it been since you took time to think back upon that day that you confessed the name of Jesus, that you were baptized into Christ, and your sins were washed away? You see, as time goes on, if we forget our cleansing, then we are susceptible to falling. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're picking up the thought in verse 9, but he has already encouraged that we be adding to our faith those things that strengthen and secure us into spiritual maturity. He says, if these things are yours and abound, in verse 8, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Have we forgotten our cleansing? Now, you see, if we forget our cleansing, we've forgotten the previous sin, haven't we? We've forgotten how terrible sin is. It would do us well to reflect upon that in our own lives. Because, you see, when we forget something as great and grand as a cleansing from sin and death, does it not show ingratitude? It certainly shows short-sightedness. See, he that lacks these things is short-sighted to blindness. Forgetting he's been cleansed. If you forget the greatest blessing of all in your life, you're not living in thankfulness. If you forget the greatest blessing that you've experienced in your life, the cleansing from your past sin, then you're not looking at the right thing. You've returned to blindness, he says. Now, how would it be for us husbands to forget our anniversary? You want to try that next year? Just try that one on. See how that works. Well now, when we forget that God, through His Son and His sacrifice on the cross, that He saved us from our sin and death, what kind of love are we showing to God? You know, I mean, If we forget our anniversary, that's not what we want to do. Maybe there's no right. You may have some excuse. You can try it on with your wife to see how that works. But what about God? What excuse are you going to offer God that you just don't remember? You just don't take time to think about the preciousness of your redemption, of your cleansing. You see, we need to always remember. We do that by remembering the price of our redemption, that the blessed Savior, the Son of God, loved us and gave Himself for us, redeemed by His blood, according to the purpose of God from eternity. The price of our redemption is that God, in His wisdom and love and eternal purposes, planned the sacrifice of His Son for us, of the sinless one. You and me. That's the price in remembering our cleansing. When we remember the Lord's death, we're remembering what it accomplished. We're remembering the cleansing, the new covenant, the means whereby we have our redemption in the Son.
Greater love is no man than this. A man lay down his life for his friends. And so in Romans, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to say, God commends His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
It is that remembrance that as sinners He died. You know, I was thinking about that a while ago from our study this morning about bitterness, and that we're to instead be tender-hearted and compassionate and forgiving. Ephesians 4:31-32. If anyone ever had that we might say in our men's way of thinking, if anyone had a right to be bitter, it was God. For the treatment of His Son at the hands of sinful men, and yet God wasn't bitter. Now think about that. Somebody mistreat your child, somebody kill your child, the temptation of bitterness that would occur, of malice and hatred. And yet God, with the great love wherewith He loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together in Christ. Ephesians 2nd chapter. This is the thing we must not forget when we remember our cleansing from our past sins. Remembering the new life that resulted. Romans 6 and verse 3, the apostle, in somewhat of a warning not to forget, says, or do you not know? In fact, old King James Version, I think, says, or are you ignorant? Some of the other translations as well. I mean, are you without knowledge? Do you not understand that those who were baptized into Christ were baptized into death? We were buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into death. But like as Christ was raised from the dead, so we also should walk in newness of life. In remembering our cleansing from our past sin, we also remember what it accomplishes now. This cleansing means a new life, a new beginning, new creatures, a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new birth. Have we forgotten it? We have birthdays once a year to remember our physical birth. But do we remember our spiritual birthday? Do we remember the cleansing and what that means in our lives? Does it mean anything in our lives? Or do we just continue to live in sin and disregard it? You see, Romans 6, just before that passage about a new life, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say, God forbid, or may it never be so. We who died in sin, how shall we any longer live therein? We've died to sin. Sin is not going to rule us any longer. Now Jesus is. We're new creatures, created in Christ, a new birth. He died. He gave His precious blood. God's great love. And so now our reaction, our response, is to sacrifice ourselves, offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, and to grow and mature in Jesus Christ by always remembering our cleansing. That's embedded in that context back there in 2 Peter 1 that we looked at the start of this section. You see, he says, adding to your, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Diligently add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Moral courage and understand knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness. To godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. You see, those traits, if we're adding those things to our faith, we're fruitful in our lives to Jesus. If not, we've forgotten our cleansing. So, here's how we can measure if we're remembering our cleansing. Are we growing? If we're growing in Christ, if we're adding these things to our life, it means we haven't forgotten what it's all about. We remember. The Son of God died for us and cleansed us. We got our eyes focused on heaven, not upon the world. So he says, brethren, be more diligent. Don't say it's enough. Look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble.
The interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't forget the way to heaven. Remember the past cleansing. Increase in your faith. Growing, maturing in Jesus. Something we can always remember. Let our memory help us grow in Christ and live for heaven. You need to always remember God's Word. Peter will go on in the same chapter, in fact. In verse 12, he says this, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." If Peter did not spur their memory, he said he would be negligent in the matter. He says, I will not be negligent. I want to stir up your memory, though you know and are established in the present truth. How do we react when we hear the old story? Do we react, "I already know that. Oh, I've heard that 100 times or 1,000 times. Or do we see that at every hearing of the Word of God is another opportunity to be stirred up in memory and to be stirred up in conduct to greater service to God? Yes, I think it is right," he says, verse 13, "as long as I am in this tent," that is, in this body, "as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." So I'm going to die soon. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to stir you up and stir your memory up. And he says it's right for me to do that. "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Even after I die, Peter said, "I want to ensure, I want to be careful to ensure you're going to have a way to remember." Now, what was that? That was the very word he was writing to them, the very word inspired by God for them. Chapter 3 and 1, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." Don't forget. Keep remembering that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. So I'm writing this so you can remember the words that are from Jesus Christ. You can remember the apostles. You can be stirred up to remember truth in your life. Look at Jude 17. 17th verse of Jude simply says, "Beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember what the apostles said. Remember the Word of God. Brother, we need to do that because the world is telling us you don't need to do that. The world says forget the Bible. It was written 2,000 years ago. You mean to think you can understand that book now, much less live by it? Well, that's just a collection of myths anyway. That's just stories that a bunch of people put together over time, and after all, it's just a bunch of corrupt people doing corrupt things anyway, and forget it. Why are you devoting such time, such effort, such energy into trying to understand it and trying to live it? Now that's what the world says. That's what the devil says. That's what unbelievers say. The question is, will we buy into the lie or not? Not if we remember that it is the Word of God and not the Word of men. That we do not follow cunningly devised fables, Peter goes on to say in the second chapter in verse 1, chapter 1 of 2 Peter. We didn't follow cunningly devised fables. This is not made up by man. It is a faithful record from the Holy Spirit of the Word and will of God for our lives. We must never forget. And always remembering God's Word, we remember cleansing and safety from our own sins. But you see this from the psalmist that was written a long time before Peter. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. And see that this was the attitude that the psalmist had about God's Word. He said, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." In other words, a young man
can cleanse his heart and his life by carefully bringing his heart and life into harmony with God's Word, taking the warnings, taking heed to his life, to his way, according to what God's Word says, living God's Word. That's how the young man cleanses his way. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. He says, your word I've hidden up in my heart. I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, this young man, this psalmist said, by putting God's word in my heart, then I will not sin. I will not wander. I will be cleansed from my sin. Whether young or old, that's the answer for why we must always remember the Word of God. Because it helps us be clean before God. It helps us be morally pure. It helps us do the will of God, live and walk with God now and eternally. Look at verse 15 of the same psalm. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Are you remembering to remember God's Word? To think about the ways of God? Really, that's an answer, that's a question that we can ask ourselves and answer ourselves. We need to do it honestly. You see, if I'm not thinking about God every day of my life and thinking about His Word and letting God's Word strengthen me and feed on it and grow from it, then how can I be cleansed? I'm susceptible to wandering, to getting weak, and to falling away from the living God. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We've got to have a close relationship with the Word of God, because that's God talking to us. Any relationship where we do not communicate is not a strong one. God's communicated. We have to be listening. We listen by letting His Word fill our hearts and meditate on it. Learn and grow from it. There is assurance. In fact, the whole 119th Psalm assures us in so many ways concerning God's Word. I encourage you to use that Psalm 119 to meditate on the many advantages and blessings that God's Word gives us. Verses 81 through 88, just a portion of this. I'll just look at verse 86 with me in this section. It says, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. See, help me. God's Word would be His help. Revive me according to your loving kindness, 88, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. When others resist you because you have said, I'm not going to forget the Bible. I'm going to live by the Bible. He says the Bible itself then becomes the point of our assurance. God has revealed that we can take comfort. In fact, let's just go back to Psalm 22, to John read for us. You see the assurance of the psalmist David, who wrote that, typifying to Christ and His death on the cross. David said, when I cried unto you, you heard me. You delivered me. You helped just as you had in previous generations. The assurance that David had then of God's presence and deliverance, he would tell to others. Even so, the Son of God is delivered. Even so, you and I, through the Son, are delivered and assured. Even when people tell you you're weird, you're not fun to be with because you try to follow the Bible, you're too strict. It's about doing the will of God. It's about walking with God. It's about harmony in our life with God. Not harmony in our life with those who do not have God. Walk in harmony with God. Remember His Word. That has life.
He has life. He has salvation. His Word assures us of that and teaches us of it. Look at this same Psalm 92 through 94. It says, Psalm 119, 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. For by them you have given me life. Where did you learn about life from sin? In the Word of God. God's Word gave you that life, that knowledge and that life. I am yours. Save me. Verse 94 says, for I have sought your precepts. Our salvation is because we turned to the Word of God, learned it and lived it. Never forget. We need to always remember to do good and to share, as Hebrews 13 and verse 16 teaches us. Always do good and share. A simple thought, but really a very profound one, because it spreads itself out in our hearts and our lives to every area of our treatment of other people. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Note in the verse, it's not simply doing good when I have an abundance, but he says that it's a sacrifice to do good and share, because with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The world says get ahead of the next person. Get ahead of the next person. I tell you, something happened this week that really illustrated this point to me. If you get gasoline at Costco, you know that if you go there during the day to get gas, you probably got about a 10 or 15 minute wait, usually, because the line backed up all the way nearly to Billy McHale sometimes. But, you know, we go there to save that 3-4 cents a gallon, don't we? Well, some of us do. So I was in line, though. They didn't, it wasn't all the back, way back to Billy McHale's, but, you know, there was about 6 or 8 cars in front of me, about that many behind me. You know that little side entrance there that you can come out of the parking lot and come into the gas area? Well, a lady just decided she was going to use that entrance. Now, problem is, that entrance puts her about ahead of about 8 cars, you know. And she's nosing her car right there in front of me. Well, there really wasn't anything I could do about it. She just pulled right in and got ahead of me and all the others behind me. And of course, that's not very kind. That's not very nice. The fellow behind me, he took a special exception. He got out and went up there and had a few choice words with her, I think. You know. But it reminded me, you know, and for what? Okay, she gained 5 minutes, 10 minutes? But at what cost? She sure, it really wasn't kind, that's for sure. She really wasn't thoughtful. She didn't take her turn. You know, our little ones know about cutting in line. But really, I mean, the world says, get ahead. Why not? If I can do it, do it. If it benefits me and what I say is a benefit to me, what's the problem? Tough luck, you know. Maybe you'll be quicker next time, you know. Well, see, you know, all that's ungodly thinking. All that's worldly thinking. You know, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3 is just a litany of the description of the mind and of the people who have forgotten God and forgotten to do good. Look at this verse. It says, men will be, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good and traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. God forbid that we as Christians should ever have this describe us and yet try to hold to a form of godliness. Because that kind of life denies the power of godliness. We need to always remember to do good. We're helped to accomplish that if we'll just remember the good God that Christ has done for us. Just remember the good He's done for us. Spiritually and really the many blessings of this life that He gives us. He gives us our necessities and with our blessings come opportunities. Opportunities to help others. Matthew 25, 34-40. I was sick and you visited me.
Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was naked and you clothed me.
In prison, and you came to me.
They said, Lord, when did we see you like this?
They said, well, you did it even to the one of the least of these, my brother, and you did it to me.
So in our remembering to do good to one another and to those of the world, we are emulating our Master, our Savior. We're remembering the good we've received, that others have given.
You know, others have given throughout our life with their time to help us. There are people who have given of their possessions to help us, of their home or some other means. They've given.
And we need to remember that. Remember to do good by remembering the good that's been done to us.
You know, the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated. You know, also is embedded in that, is it not, a remembrance that others have treated you good.
And you need to remember to do the same. In Acts the 4th chapter, 32 through 35, the early Christians were selling their possessions and distribution was being made to those among them that had need. They were sharing, and by that doing good. And we can do good to all as we have opportunity. Galatians 6 and verse 10, as individual Christians. The point here is, in remembering to do good and to share, we must be givers, not takers. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And really, in remembering to do good and to share is remembering, never forgetting, that we need to be people who aren't takers. You know, lovers of self, lovers of money, headstrong, haughty, all about number one. But rather we need to be the ones who give. Look at Proverbs 11. And 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters also will also be watered himself. The generous soul. Don't forget to be generous, to give. Maybe it's your time, your attention, your health. Maybe it's material health. Maybe it's spiritual comfort. Be a giver, not a taker. Remember to share and to do good. God is pleased with such sacrifices. Hebrews 13:16. Brethren, let's always remember those who've gone before us. It's important to do that. I'm reminded about that again just a day or two ago of the one that from whom I learned the gospel. And to remember again about his impact for good upon me and the expectations of heaven of one day again being able to see him and with others of like faith. These things are blessings that we ought to remember. Look at Hebrews 13:3. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. So he's telling them here, remember some who have been, who are being persecuted in the flesh for their faith. And you're in the body, you're in the flesh, you're suffering similar things. Then go down to verse 7. Remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So, remembering those who have had spiritual impact upon us is a good thing. Look at John, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 36. Remembering that We are linked together in the cause of truth. And there are people who have touched your life and my life to teach us the gospel. People who have stood in the truth and stood for the truth. And people who, by their life, have been of great assistance to us. And it's right to remember these things. John 4 and 35 beginning, Jesus said, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. But both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I get the picture. Here's the sower and the reaper, and they mutually rejoice. For in this, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. One plants, another harvests. But they rejoice together. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So to the apostles, you're entering into the labors that others have done before you. And you're going to be reaping things, harvesting souls where they planted. Remember that. Understand that. Know that. That will help us in the work we have. Those who've endured trials ahead of us, making our present situation easier. Hebrews 13 talks about those whose possessions were plundered, who were put in prison, those who were persecuted for their faith, and those things ought to be remembered. But there are generations already past who have stood in truth, loving the gospel, teaching it from generation to generation. My question is, will we in our generation be those who in future generations will look back upon and say they stood for the truth? They taught the Word of God. They lived the gospel before men. They passed that truth on to me and to you. Will they say that of us? Or will it die with us? But are you remembering? See, if we remember that we have received the blessings from others, what are we going to do about those who come after us? Will we likewise be a blessing? You see, that's why we should never forget. We need to always remember God's power and promises.
The last point to make here this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 5, and then it says that those who are mocking the coming of the day of the Lord says they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the word that then world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. They forget.
Those who forget the power of God forget that when God says He's going to bring a judgment, He brings it.
He says, we've got to never forget that. Beloved, do not forget this one thing. Verse 8, don't forget. In other words, always remember that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You think you have a lifetime? It's a speck. God is not measured by time. Don't think you have all the days of your life. You don't know how many days in your life you have. But rather, don't forget. Don't forget that about God, and so don't become slack. God is not slack concerning His promises. Don't become negligent. Don't become forgetful.
That God is going to keep His Word. He's going to judge our sin. Mockers forget that about God. They forget the flood. They don't have time to think about that. They say, as things are now, they've always been, and they're wrong. As I have today, I'll have many more tomorrow. And they're not sure of that. Neither are you or me.
Amen.
You see, what we need to do instead is to prepare ourselves. Those who think that way are not prepared. The day of the Lord will come to thief in the night. Which for those who are saying peace with safety, then sudden destruction will fall upon them. You see, that's what it means, a thief coming in the night, unexpected, unprepared. He'll return. We've got to be prepared because we're children of light. We walk in the light in the day by remembering, by never forgetting. You see, Peter says, some will repent. He says, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises, that some count slackness, but His long-suffering to you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some will come to repentance. When they contemplate, when they remember God's power and God's promises, some will not.
It is the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, that urges us
to repent. Romans 2, verse 4. It should.
What about me or you today? Is there sin in our life that we know we need to deal with? We know we need to repent? We know we need to change our life? to come into harmony with God's will? If so, remember God in His power and His righteousness judges sin. And you want to be right with God when you stand before Him. Repent and do the will of God. Never forget. You know, God will not forget your work of faith and your labor of love. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Paul, the writer there in Hebrews 6, he reminds the Hebrews, they need to grow. They needed to be more diligent in their spiritual growth. He says, understand, God's not going to forget what you're doing. He's going to remember. Now, later in that same epistle, he talked about God remembering our sins no more. You see, in the covenant of Jesus Christ, if we will repent and obey God, if we become Christians, He will not remember our sins anymore. But He'll never forget that we live for Him, that we work in faith, and that we walk in love. He'll never forget that. But He will forget our sins. He won't hold them to our account any longer if we will repent and obey Him. Becoming a Christian, or as a Christian, remedying sin that's in our lives. So let's remain diligent in our faith. Let's remember God. Remember the Word of God. Remember to do good and to share. Remember those who've gone before us. Remember that God in His power keeps His promises, and He has promised heaven, and He's also promised judgment against our sin. Let us repent. Let us live with Him. Then we'll live with God forevermore. The subject of the call of the gospel, where the day will be the day that you remember what Jesus did for you, and that today will be the day that you in turn make a decision never to forget. By repenting, confessing your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. He'll save you, He'll add you to His church, and you'll be raised to walk in a new life, always remembering the good that God has done for you and the Son, and in turn then to do that good in your life by serving Him faithfully. If you're subject to the gospel, please come while we stand and sing.